Hey, patrons and YouTube members, and welcome back to your exclusive weekly patron cast. And this time it's season 3, episode 24, and I've got three things I want to talk about. The first one is Patreon. They launched Patreon Video, which might open the door to more perks published exclusively on Patreon. And I wanted to talk about a few ideas that I have and see if these could interest you. The second one is the channel, where I'll talk about like how things are going, and they're going really well, a new sponsor that I can finally talk about, and how it's going with the production agency, what I've been doing in the latest videos. And the third one is about NVIDIA GPU performance on Linux, because after playing it for a while on my new gaming PC slash console, can't really call it a console since it's way bigger than a console, but since I've been playing a lot on this PC and it's using an AMD GPU, I'm noticing that it should perform worse than my editing rig on paper, but in practice it works a lot better, and performance is actually way better. So I wanted to talk about this. So let's begin with Patreon Video. So I just received an email from Patreon saying that they are launching Patreon Video in early access, which basically is their way of hosting the videos that you want to publish exclusively for Patreon members. It's pretty limited for now, it's early access, so I'm basically only getting 100 hours over the year. And by the time the early access finishes, if I haven't used these 100 hours, I'll still get 6 months to use up the rest. After that, it becomes a paid feature. And yes, creators pay on Patreon. They pay a percentage of each membership. For now, I have a Founders Edition plan or something, which means I basically signed up when Patreon was smaller. And so I have a pretty good deal. But if I wanted to have access to Patreon Video all the time, I would have to move to one of their premium plans, which would increase the cut Patreon takes, but by really a little bit. It's super small, honestly, and I think it's just a numbers game for them. Like, the most people subscribe to the bigger plans, even if they only take a fraction of a percent more over time and over the number of patrons and over the number of Patreon creators, they're gonna make it up. So it would be pretty much impossible for me to perceive the difference in terms of how much I earn every month. It would basically change nothing. Like the order of a few euros per month, basically. Now, what they're introducing makes me think that I could start introducing Patreon-specific videos. And if you're a YouTube member, don't worry, there's always the unlisted video that I could only post in the community type. It's kind of insane to me that YouTube doesn't have a setting to post a video only for your YouTube members. Like, instead of using unlisted and the community tab or private or whatever, like, why don't we have a toggle to say this is only for YouTube members, or this is only for YouTube members until this date? I don't really understand why they don't have that, or if they do, I have completely missed that option and I've never seen it. So basically, if I started making content that I published on Patreon specifically, I would also have that content for YouTube members at the same price tier, if it's possible to do it, and it would be unlisted and I would post about it in the community tab of the channel. So, until now, the reason I didn't do this, patron or YouTube members exclusive videos, is because I would have had to make these unlisted on YouTube, share a link to it on a Patreon post and in a YouTube community post, and basically hope that no one would share that link anywhere else. It wasn't a very seamless thing, honestly. And of course, with Patreon Video, the issue remains for YouTube members. You still have to do that weird thing where you publish in unlisted and you post a post in the community tab exclusively for YouTube members. But for Patreon, for patrons on Patreon, which is where the vast majority of you are, it would give them a better experience than having an unlisted YouTube video. You get a normal Patreon post, so you get a notification or an email. You get to view the video, you get a preview, a thumbnail, you get playback controls with playback speed, you get generated captions that are automatic, you get cross-platform play state. If you use the mobile app for Patreon and the desktop on a browser, you can also resume playback where you left off. You can cast these videos using AirPlay or to a Chromecast. There's a picture-in-picture mode. They basically did it right. It's super handy and very practical. Now, the question is, I want to start maybe playing around with this, but what would you think is a good sort of content for Patreon exclusive videos? Because I'm hesitating between a few things. First, I could make the Patreon cast into a video. It would most likely be a simple webcam filming me video, maybe with a few edits here and there to add some visual things to illustrate what I'm talking about, but definitely not the same level of editing as a main video on the channel. That would be too time-consuming for just the Patreon cast, especially since they run for about 30 minutes. The second idea would be to offer content that is more personal, not necessarily Linux-related. More lifestyle stuff, stuff about minimalism, about going bald, the various questions I'm faced with in life, the interrogations, the pressures, the insecurities that we'll face. Basically a side channel talking about how I'm basically traversing life and the solutions I found to various interrogations, problems, questions, societal pressures, or whatever. Basically a secondary channel, but just for patrons and YouTube members, because I don't think this would be very interesting as a main YouTube channel. The last option would be something like a The Linux Experiment Plus, where you would maybe get a video about a specific application or a small topic that doesn't really fit in a main channel video, but is still interesting to talk about. Stuff like talking about what's happening with Reddit, for example, or a cool new mockup for a desktop environment, or just showcasing some desktops that look really good online, focusing on an update to a specific application, focusing on my workflow for specific things, basically an extension of what I do on the channel for stuff that can't make it as a main video on the channel. And it would also work well for topics that I know YouTube will not necessarily like and that they won't push using the algorithm, like more privacy-focused stuff or Nextcloud and hosting-related things, or maybe tutorials, maybe courses on various things, maybe guides, stuff like that. Now, this one would obviously be the most time-consuming, as even with something like a 6-minute shorter video, it's still a few hours of work to create it to the standards of the channel. Now, the first option, the Patreon cast turned into a video, would probably fit into the existing tiers. Like, everyone that's a patron or a YouTube member would get access to it. The second option would require a bit more work, and it would probably fit in a new tier, like €2 per month. And the last option, what I'm gonna call TLE Plus, would require much more work and thus would probably be limited to the €5 tier or above, which would limit its appeal to a lot of people. So, what do you think? I need to assess whether I have enough time to make this work, especially in the TLE Plus format. Those would be like shorter videos, maybe 6 minutes, at least once a week, but maybe more if there's more stuff to talk about. Would it be worth it? Would it be interesting? I don't know. So I'll send a poll. Once I know if I really could make this work, I'll send a poll to you, Patreon supporters and YouTube members, with various options. So you can tell me what you would prefer, what you would think would be most interesting to grow the Patreon and to grow YouTube memberships. So let's discuss it in the comments first. Maybe you'll have a few ideas that I didn't think about. And let me know what you think about like the pricing tiers and the various options that I mentioned. Now, we're going to talk about the channel itself. So basically my plan, if I can call it that, to focus more on Linux desktops, distros, desktop environments, and apps, this plan that I started implementing in May, I think, seems to be working. Most videos in May and June, since I started moving to really more pure Linux desktop-focused stuff, most videos have done a lot better. These 2 months, I have from 1 to 5 to 1.7 million views per month instead of the usual 1 to 1.2. And the number of subscribers is up, the revenue is up, it's really good. The NixOS video is performing really well this week. It's going toe-to-toe with the Debian 12 video, which has passed 100,000 views, which is really cool. And the Graphical Gap video is also performing really well with 63,000 views right now. It keeps growing slowly, but it's sort of an evergreen video, so it's going to keep generating views over time. And it's kind of funny, because for a time, for about a year, it was the Linux news videos that were carrying the channel. Everything else seemed to lag behind, except a few videos that were much more popular. But now it's the opposite. It's the news videos that tend to perform worse than the other ones. Although, they're still doing pretty well, and they're basically my main line for what I think performs well now on the channel. It's a news video. After a week, I know it's gonna flatline at about 40 to 50,000 views, and so if a regular video does worse than that, I know that I messed up. Now, people really seem to enjoy the comparisons I made with Windows, with macOS, on the privacy things, on design, on the graphical gap. And funnily enough, they're not perceived as pure bashing. I'm not getting a lot of comments from people using Windows or macOS saying, oh, you suck, you don't understand these systems, you don't know what you're talking about, you're an idiot, Linux sucks, whatever. No one perceives these as bashing. So I guess I did a good job at presenting these as constructive, at least, and pointing out the various differences. I think it's pretty cool. Now we're going to talk about sponsors a little bit. And so I mentioned that I had a new sponsor in the wings that was interested to work with the channel, interested in working with the channel. And so now that we've signed the insertion order, so they're going to work with me officially, they signed for 4 months, it's Thunderbird. We'll start in September. And until November, we won't do December because that's not generally a great period for YouTube. And then we'll start again in January, and then we'll assess if we want to keep doing it or not. It's 2 videos per month, which is really fantastic. This means that I'll probably remove 1 sponsored video for TuxCare and probably 1 for Linode as well to make some space. But that's fine. Like, these 2 sponsors have been here for a very long time. And I think it's better to have more diverse sponsors spread out more evenly and not have like 3 or 4 videos from the same sponsor, like what I had for a long while with Linode, which they basically sponsored half the channel for 2 years. And also, the new sponsors are like at the normal prices for me instead of the grandfathered prices that Linode and TuxCare have. So it's also a bit more money for me each month, which is really cool. And I'm really happy to be working with Thunderbird because it's a fantastic program. It's everything I'm looking for in a sponsor. Like, they're an open source app. They're well known. They're well loved. They're working on improving their UX and their UI. They add a lot of value. They're cross-platform as well, not Linux-specific. It's a really good program, and I'm really happy that they've decided to sponsor the video. So we'll see if this goes further after the initial 4-month period, but I would love to keep working with them. They're really, really cool. And so the other thing that might be more controversial is that they will sponsor the Linux News podcast as well. This is really nice for me because for now, the Linux News podcast doesn't pay for itself. Like, it pays for the hosting for sure, but the number of new patrons supporting the podcast specifically, or that arrive right after I publish a podcast, has basically dried up. The number of listens keep increasing month by month slowly, but the number of people contributing for the podcast hasn't. And so I think it's just not going to be sustainable if I cannot find any sponsors. It basically adds the same time as editing a full video onto my week. So it takes a lot of time. And so if it cannot generate any money, I don't see how I could justify keeping it instead of doing a video, basically. So they will start sponsoring the podcast. It's 1 sponsored mention, 45 second to 1 minute sponsor break in the podcast. In the first third, we'll put it there. I think it's decent. The podcast runs for 40 to 45 minutes. There are chapters, like, I don't think it's a big problem, but if you join the Patreon exclusively to support the podcast and you don't want ads in it, and like, you paid because you didn't want ads, I totally understand if you want to withdraw your support. I mean, like, you subscribe for a no ads podcast and now it has 1 ad each episode, so maybe you don't like that, and I totally understand. And if you want to stop supporting the channel, I would absolutely understand as well. Now let's talk about the production agency. They gave me a first script for one of the videos in July, and I really did not like it. I really tried to, I tried to approach it with an open mind. I read it as if I was recording it, and it just did not sound right. It didn't sound like anything I would say. It sounded like a more generic tech channel, and I didn't want to sound like that. So I rewrote about 80% of it. I was expecting that fully. It's the first script they're making. They kind of missed the mark there, but it's normal. Like, they don't really know how I approach things. They watched a few of my videos, but that's not enough to give them the tone to know that I try to approach things from a project management standpoint, pointing out like UX problems, UI problems, and trying to look at things in a more, let's say, analytical way to try to like take apart something and understand why it works or doesn't. That's what I'm trying to do. They didn't get that, and that's normal. I'm not very surprised. So they basically focused on the wrong things when explaining the various points of the video, and the script was a bit too short. I just could not see myself saying the phrases that they wrote as they wrote them. It's not a big deal. They have 3 more videos to learn how I do things. And scripts are just my purview anyway. They're just offering a skeleton and a few ideas and they're trying to flesh them out. But that's not why I wanted to work with them. I wanted to work with them for the editing and for the YouTube optimization. Especially better tags, better titles, better thumbnails, to see what they can bring to the channel in that area. For the scripts, I think I'm doing relatively well. Like, I could probably record them and edit them better, but I think the content itself works. I think it works. Now, while we're on the topic of editing, I don't know if you noticed because it's pretty subtle, but I started improving the editing a little bit. It's very small, but I added a few sound effects throughout the videos, a few more animations and transitions, a few more text to explain things. I'm trying to make them a bit more lively, basically. And I don't know if it's super noticeable. I'd say it's an incremental improvement. It doesn't change how my videos play out. It doesn't change the rhythm all that much. But visually, I think it's a bit more interesting. And I'm seeing a bit more retention in the videos. People watch them for a little bit longer on average. So I guess it's working a little bit. So let me know if you noticed that increased pacing or if it doesn't feel any different. It's mainly in the last 2 videos. It's hard to know if people watch them more because of the editing or because the topics are just like more interesting to them. Difficult to know, but I guess over time, over a few months, if I keep this like new, let's call it new editing, even though it's basically the same, but a little more dynamic, if things keep improving over a few months, then I know it's the editing and not just the topics. So now for this week, I'll be working on 3 videos, one on the best web browsers for privacy, where I will compare their resistance to trackers, how much trackers they block, how they block ad trackers by default, the data they collect out of the box, and their resistance to fingerprinting. And the results, I already ran a few tests and I looked at a lot of browsers, and the results are not necessarily what I expected either. So I think it will be interesting to look at it. And I also have a look at Linux Mint 21.2, if and only if the beta is already available, either today or tomorrow when I start working on that script. If not, I will work on a laptop review instead, and I'll move the Mint video to the last week of June. And of course, we'll have the Linux news video as always. Okay, and for our final topic, I wanted to talk about NVIDIA performance on Linux, because I've now been playing on my new PC running SteamOS for about a month, and on paper, it should be slower than my editing rig. The CPU is a little bit better, it's an i7-12700, it's supposedly about 10% faster than my Ryzen 5 5800X. But the editing PC has an RTX 3070, compared to the RX 6650 XT in the gaming PC, which should be about 30% slower than the RTX 3070. Now, the gaming PC has a PCIe 4 drive, which can be better than the PCIe 3 in the editing rig, but it shouldn't make much of a difference, apart from loading times, I think. And they both have 32 gigs of RAM. But in practice, I'm noticing that the gaming PC performs way better than the editing rig in terms of gaming. For example, on the gaming PC running SteamOS, I can run Cyberpunk at 1440p at high details with FSR enabled to upscale it to 4K and maximum sharpening and basically everything else cranked up to the max. It runs at 60 FPS all the time. It's super smooth, except for one area of the game, the Afterlife Club, which is some kind of underground bar, which has a lot of lights and reflections and stuff like that. And so there it drops at about 50 FPS. But the rest of the game, even driving outside in the game world, something that usually drops your FPS by about 10, this doesn't do it on this PC. I can run it at 60 FPS, ultra smooth, all the time. And on the editing rig with its RTX 3070, I should be seeing better performance in theory because, like Cyberpunk, taxes your GPU. But in practice, I'm seeing less than 50 FPS most of the time at the exact same resolution and details. And also my editing rig makes a lot more noise with the fans running at full blast all the time, while the gaming PC barely makes a sound. Like I'm playing with a soundbar under my TV at normal audio levels, and the sound from the soundbar basically completely blocks the sound from the fans of the gaming PC. I would say it's as noisy as a Steam Deck running at full speed, with the fan running at full speed, which isn't very problematic. for a PC that's located like 3 meters from me under my TV, and the noise is basically covered by the sound of the game. So what's happening here? Because on paper, the editing rig should be better for gaming. So there are a few avenues. Maybe it's the AMD drivers that are open source and much better than the proprietary NVIDIA drivers. I don't really know. I never really had a gaming experience on Linux with an AMD GPU before. I virtually only used NVIDIA GPUs since I started this channel, apart from a short period where I had an RX 580, but I didn't game all that much on that PC. So while I didn't really encounter any problems with the proprietary NVIDIA GPUs, I also don't really have another frame of reference. And performance felt acceptable. Most of the games I played ran at 60 FPS with high to mid details, except like very recent games like Darktide, Total War, Warhammer 3, or even Cyberpunk. And I thought that it was these games that were just too demanding for an RTX 3070. But now I'm wondering if it's just a problem with the NVIDIA drivers that just don't perform as well as AMD drivers, which means that a lower-end AMD GPU would actually perform better than a higher-end NVIDIA GPU on Linux. And if I wanted to truly test that, I would have to grab the RX 6650 XT from the gaming PC, put it in the editing rig instead of the RTX 3070, and measure FPS there to have a complete comparison. And maybe it's a video I'll make, because I think it's interesting. On paper, the RTX should trounce the AMD card, but it really doesn't. Now, other avenues might be SteamOS. Maybe it's just so much more optimized that it makes games run way better than on a regular Linux distro. Or maybe it's the faster RAM and the faster storage on the gaming PC and the slightly faster CPU that make up for what the GPU lacks and makes for better FPS. I'll have to test things out further. I think it's interesting, and maybe it could uncover something like, yeah, on Linux, really, actually, even though the drivers are improving, really do not buy an NVIDIA GPU, because for cheaper, you'll get better performance than with a higher-end NVIDIA GPU. If I can demonstrably prove that by reproducing test results, it could be pretty interesting. So I'll be digging into that when I have a bit more time, probably after my holidays, probably in August or September, and I'll run a few benchmarks to see if, like, is it just the GPU, or is it just that the other components in the gaming PC are just way better than the ones in my editing rig. I don't know. So let me know what you think about Patreon videos, the topics I could pick, or if I do TLE Plus, a more lifestyle side channel, or just the video Patreon cast. Let me know what you think about the increased pacing in the videos. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Did you even notice it? And let me know what you think. If you have previous experiences comparing NVIDIA GPUs with AMD GPUs on Linux in terms of gaming performance on the same PC, let me know what your findings were. So thank you all for listening to the Patreon cast. Thank you all for supporting the channel. And I guess you will hear me in the next one. Bye.